don't know if it's more or less. You can decide for yourselves. But have we become a superstitious nation? Wishes and dreaming and what are the signs and, you know, everything else that involves. We want something, we hope for something, and they tell us to visualize it if you're trying to make this into a mental human kind of control thing, and then it will come true. And I think we've become a very superstitious. But when we stand before God and we ask this question, if, are we superstitious? Are we wishful? Or are we arrogant and obstinate, stubborn, challenging? Take a look at your bulletin, the gospel reading. Now, obviously I cheated. I got the lesson, but I put some of that stuff in bold. And I want to draw your attention to what I have in bold. All right. There's a question that starts there, right? You see that? How long will you keep us in suspense? And then there's that two-letter word, if. If you are the Christ. Now, to put this in context, Jesus has done miracles. He's been teaching and preaching. And after all this time, some Jews have gathered around him and they've used the word if. Now today's Mother's Day. And moms change diapers and moms bottle fed or nursed or, you know, spoon fed as the little one grow up. Can you imagine a child with any kind of vocabulary saying today, if you are my mother, would the mom be really happy about that? After all this time? So this word if is offensive. Now, since obviously we are not living at that time, this is today, and obviously we can't search the hearts, we need to go to the text and find out, did God in Christ take offense? Look at the paragraph again. Jesus answered them. He said, I told you, and you do not believe. Now, putting it again into context, today is Mother's Day. Can you imagine a child being told, yes, you are mine, and then the child looks mom in the face and says, I think I'm adopted. And mom says, no, you are not. And the child says, yes, I am. Now, that's what these people are doing. In the face of all that God in Christ has done, in all of his word, in all of his sending out with that word, the work of the Spirit, and creating faith in many hearts, and changing the hearts of the people, these Jews here have gathered in the colonnade of Solomon's temple, and they've offended God, if you are the Christ. It is arrogance to come before the Lord with this kind of if. And what did they want? They wanted earlier, how long will you keep us in suspense? They really didn't want to know if he was the Christ. They wanted him to slip up to prove he wasn't the Christ. They were itching, chopping at the bit to believe. They had already heard these things that Jesus had said and done, and it wasn't enough. In fact, it was way too much, because it wasn't what they wanted the Messiah to be. For some Jews, they wanted a brand new king, a political king, a warrior king like Daniel. For other Jews, it's called the Danielic version or vision of Jesus, the prophet, the Messiah. Danielic was the priest, the one who speaks the Word of God in the way that they knew the Word of God. And Jesus was speaking the Word of God, but they had changed the Word of God. So it wasn't in the way that they knew the Word of God. It wasn't in the way that they were willing to confess the Word of God. And so they were turning away from the Lord. By the age of 33, they're plotting to kill him. They're looking for ways before then to trip him up. They sent the legal minds of the temple to go and hear him and kind of sort out how we can prove he's not of God. In fact, they even accused him of being of the devil. If you are the Christ, Jesus twice says him there, I told you and you do not believe. Look at the next part of the sentence after that. But you did not believe, do not believe. And then he contrasts that with those who do believe. What's the difference? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus says, I know my sheep. I know them, right? And Jesus says, they follow me. And it's more than their works that they follow him. But Jesus says, the difference is, because they are mine, I give them eternal life. The Jews asked Jesus in a manner that already rejects the answer. I was not the best child. You know some of my own stories. When I asked my parents something they knew, I was already up to something. They didn't have to guess. After a number of years, it was easy to spot. Our Lord calls us his own. It isn't that he doesn't want the questions, but he wants the question to confess that Jesus is Lord. Because when the question has built into it faith that Jesus is Lord, then we're open to learning. Then we're open to the answer that God wants to give. Then we're open to God leading us, surrounding us with his grace, his protection, his love. Then we're open to saying, God, teach me, tell me something that I don't know. But when we're full of ourselves, when we think we've got it all worked out, when we think we know the answer, when we have our own plan that we want implemented, then do we not do the same thing that the Jews did in today's gospel? We approach him and say, God, if you are really God, then I should win the lottery. Because you're God, right? We start putting stuff out there as if this is the plan for our success. This is the plan for our wellness. This is the plan for our healing and our wholeness. This is the plan of the way we get and receive forgiveness and the way we give forgiveness to others. And it begins with the word if. There are ways that we can ask if. It's called sequential. When we're looking for more information, we have some information, we believe this is true, and so we would say, if, and you can do this in chemistry, so if you know that this solution in this bottle is flammable, and you know that to be true, then if you add that solution to potassium nitrate, and then you add sulfur to it, and then you take a little bit of coal. Bill Harper just put boom. Being a teacher, he kind of knows this stuff. And that's the idea, is that, you know, you can recognize the progression. One truth might lead to another truth, might build to a very terrible truth, by the way. Boom. So there are times we do understand and we do believe things about Scripture and about God and what he has taught us. And then we say, if this is true, and it's not, could it be not true? No. Because this is true is the way it would be translated. And because this is true, God, what's next? are times that, especially for the people of Israel, they got surprised. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That's true. You know, we're God's people. That's true. And then there would be another surprise, like David beating Goliath. That did not make sense. But God's power is great, so great that it was able to take a little fella to beat a big fella. You and I in our lives, we get to rejoice that when we have done the, if you are the Christ, God has forgiven us. But we also get to rejoice that when we ask God, because I get this, I understand, I believe that, and even if I don't understand it, I believe it, what about? And the Bible says he hears our voice, that he is with us, and he will lead us into what is next as we follow him. This is an awesome, comforting text in today's world. We don't have to ask if the world is violent, do we? It is. We don't have to ask, are Christians being persecuted? Because they are. But in the face of all of that, we get to boldly confess that our Lord is with us, that we are his people, and nobody, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, that we will not perish no matter what happens in this life, that we get to live boldly in the name of Jesus, because in the name of Jesus, there's no if. There's only because. Because of him, we are forgiven. Because of him, we live. Because of him, we have eternal life. Because of him, we have an eternal home. Isn't that pretty good? And it's yours. In the name of Christ, amen.